crossing. So, Jesus' words, follow me, are his invitation to his disciples and to us to live with him in a paradigm shift. We've been going through this series in Luke for just a bit. It's almost 2 years. It's all Craig says. But the purpose has been for us, as we hear these stories and as we encounter Jesus, to have maybe our paradigms changed from something more worldly to something more heavenly. So that's been the process for the last couple of years. And we're in the middle of Advent, leading up to Christmas. And today we're going to talk about Christ's resurrection, which is usually saved for Easter. So some of us might lean more toward the Christmas story, Jesus coming to earth as a baby. Some, like myself, lean into Jesus resurrected. They're both necessary. Everything needs to be part of the puzzle. But I am Jesus resurrected girl. I love the story. How's your paradigm so far? Christmas, Easter, are we good? So we need the birth of Jesus so we can have a crucifixion story. We need to have a crucifixion story so that we can have a resurrection story. The resurrection story is the foundation of our Christian faith. You see, for 3 years, Jesus walked the earth with his disciples. He told them over and over and over what he came to do. He came to suffer and to die and to be raised from the dead. Matthew 16:21 says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and on that third day be raised. Luke 9:22 says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and to be killed and on the third day be raised. There are so many passages that talk about Jesus' process. Too many to put on for today. But the fact that it's been repeated so much in Scripture should be an indication of how important this process is for our salvation. The Bible is not just stories. It's a whole other sermon, but I just want to say that the Bible is real. We cannot have so many stories by so many different people over so many thousands of years that line up with a story from before or truth from before or something that God did or said before. The Bible is real. We can trust that it is the Word of God. And if you have questions on that, talk to Craig afterwards. So there are three steps to our salvation process. Jesus must be betrayed. Craig spoke about that a couple weeks ago. Jesus must be crucified. Mario talked about that last week. And he must be raised from the dead. The word that they use is resurrected. All of these things were completed so we can have 100% faith that Christ is real, the Bible is real, God is real, the Holy Spirit is real, and everything that Jesus came to do, he did. Everything that he said is truth. We can be 100% clear on that. Jesus alone provides eternal life. There is no other way to everlasting life except through Jesus. There is a part that we must play in the story, though. We must believe it happened. And we must put our faith in Jesus and in his process in order for us to be saved. Jesus knew what he came to do. The disciples didn't understand, even though he told them over and over and over and over and over. We have the benefit of hindsight to see, oh my gosh, everything he said happened, and it's true. They didn't. I think Jesus might tell us things that are just a little bit hard to believe. We're no different than the disciples were. But God removed the barrier of our sin and its consequences, because he loves us, and because he wants to have eternal life with us. There is nothing that anybody has ever done that will prevent them from entering into that eternal life We just simply have to receive the gift of salvation, which is understanding this process that Jesus went through. God rolled away the stone in front of the entrance of the tomb where Jesus' body was placed after he died, so that we can see everything that Jesus came to do. He did. He accomplished it. We can believe it and we can trust it. There is nothing that we could do to earn this gift of grace, this gift of eternal life. We can't do it. And that's very different than every other religion out there. Every other religion out there is going to tell you, you have to do things. You have to have self-effort. You have to earn salvation. But you never know really how much you have to do in order to do it. Faith in Jesus is about his work. We simply have to receive. And that's very different than you will hear in any other religion in the world. I've titled this message, He Still Rolls Stones, because he still moves the stones in our lives today. It is removing the stone in front of the tomb, but I think we can have other stones in our lives too that we just need him to move out of the way so that we can encounter him. When we encounter him, we can live a resurrection life. Not the life we're promised in heaven, although that is part of the story, but we can live that resurrection life here today on earth. We just simply have to receive and encounter him and let him roll the stones away. Let's pray. Jesus, I just pray that you open our hearts to show us those personal stones in our lives that you want to remove. I thank you that it's your work that does that. And I thank you that as you move the stones, we can encounter you and we can live a resurrection life. Jesus, would you come by your power today and touch our hearts and touch our minds? And for those of us that might not have yet put our faith in Jesus, that you would touch our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're going to look at Luke 24, 1 through 12. In it, we're going to see two different responses. One of the responses is the responses of the women in front of the tomb. The other response is the disciples. I'm going to spend more time on the women because, well, you know. Craig is going to touch more on the disciples next week. We're going to touch just a little bit on that. It's the carrot. It's the stay tuned for next week. Please come next week because Craig's going to tie it up in a pretty bow. But we all have places in our lives that we can't move those barriers on our own. Some might be smaller. Some might be bigger. I believed in Jesus as a young girl, and I had some things happen to me, so I stepped away from my faith. But I grew up in church, but literally my parents would take me to church and drop me off. They never went in. But there was that pull on my heart to be with Jesus even as a young girl. I learned a lot about Jesus when I was younger, but as I stepped away, I kind of forgot it. That happens sometimes, right? Or is it just me? Jesus had to roll away that stone of unbelief so that I could come back to him. And he did that in my early 30s. Don't add up how old you think I am. I'll just say before. But that rolling of that stone of unbelief away allowed me to enter into a relationship with Jesus. And that to me was pivotal. Because we can go to church, we can read the Bible, we can think about God, learn about God, but he's about relationship. It's not about just going to church and checking a box, right? He's about engaging and in a relationship with us. So the stone was moved away so that I could receive salvation as a young girl. But the one that he moved away in my 30s changed everything in my life. And I'm living a resurrection life now because of it. Stones like disobedience, rebellion, unforgiveness, and pride are stones that sometimes stay in place and they help us to not encounter God. They prevent us from encountering God. And they just make it difficult. We can't move the stones on our own, but we can participate in the process of Christ's work so that those stones can be moved away. When Jesus rolled away the stone of unbelief for me, I was praying. I wasn't praying about unbelief, but he knew what I needed to have moved. That day that I went to pray, I was, for like 6 months leading up to that, I just had this phrase. We're in a transition. My husband and I, we're in a transition. We're in a transition. We're going through a transition. We're in a transition. It's going to be about his job. You know, I thought it was a transition about work. And Jesus, that day when I was praying, he just said, the questions you're struggling with have nothing to do with your jobs. You need to get off the fence and figure out what you believe. It wasn't a yummy message of, oh, I love you. It was get off the fence. And I knew that he was speaking to me. I don't know how I can describe it other than I know that I know that I know that I know that God was speaking directly to me. And in that moment, this door opened up and I just saw things so clearly. Everything I knew about Jesus as a young girl became, oh my gosh, if God is speaking to me, he's real. So all of this other stuff is real too. Completely rocked my world. I had a part to play. He moved the stone of unbelief, but I had a part to play in it. I had to get off the fence, and hopefully I have. There are other stones like addiction, abuse, hurts, unbelief, fear, and depression, even lies that are planted by the enemy. Lies are those internal narratives that we have going through our minds when we're still and when we're quiet. Those, Jesus has to just move. And he will. He can. And that's where I want us to kind of tap in today, is to that power that raised Jesus from the dead. That power is available to us today. What does your internal narrative sound like when you're still and when you're quiet? Do you hear or sense or feel love and encouragement and hope? Or do you hear condemnation? Do you hear lies? Lies are those things that do not line up with the Word of God. I think we all hear lies. And the power comes when we start to recognize the voices that are that internal narrative, when we're still and when we're quiet. And Jesus can move those so that you can live a resurrection life too. Some lies that, these are just general examples, but maybe some of them apply to you. God doesn't speak to me. I'm not worthy. God loves everybody else, but he really doesn't love me. I've done too much in my life, too many bad things to be really received by Jesus. This thing I'm struggling with, this thought, this habit, this internal narrative, it's never going to change. This is my life. God rolls away the stones in our lives so that we can encounter him and live a resurrection life. What do I mean by a resurrection life? Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the spirit who dwells in you. Living a resurrection life is both the immortal position that we have when Jesus returns for us, but it's also that life that we can have in our mortal bodies today. It's living a life free of the internal narrative that's not Jesus. It's living free from those lies. It's living a life of purpose, a life of peace, a life of joy. that message, when we get it, is the message that we are to share with other people. That's what we're called to do. It's to share that message so that they can enter into their process of receiving Jesus and that resurrection life. God telling me to get off the fence, that encounter literally gave me part of my life back. I had been living so many years so far apart from him, and it completely changed my life. So if you've ever had this thing that I've been struggling with, that addiction, that thought, the depression, the doubt, the negative self-talk, that sin, and I'm always going to struggle with it, and I'm never going to get better, I don't believe that for a second. And we can't claim that either. I don't believe it for a second. And you shouldn't either, because we have access to that same power that raised Jesus from the grave. We have access to that spirit who lives inside of us. Once we put our faith in, he comes in and he dwells within us. And he is that spirit that helps us to have those moments of encounter where we don't have to live the same way. There is hope of a new life. There's always hope with Jesus. So the resurrection, it might sound really crazy as we read it if you've never heard it before, but it's still true as true can be. So let's read our passage today. Are we ready to, you know, dive into? Okay. The resurrection. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. In returning from the tomb, they told all of these things to the 11 and to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what happened. Does that sound crazy? Come on, it does a little bit, right? So we're going to look at the responses of the women this morning. This story is about women, but this is not a gender issue. So guys, please don't check out. It's about kind of hearts and what God does in us as people. It's not a gender issue. The principles can apply to both men and women, rest assured. The women were specifically named, which is really countercultural. Craig mentioned that earlier. Women were not esteemed. They were not positioned in places of authority. They really were like the least of the least. So the fact that they were named by name and that they were women is really significant to that culture. Mary Magdalene had been possessed by 7 demons. So if anybody thinks that they can't encounter Jesus, please don't believe that today. Anybody can encounter Jesus. John 14:6 says, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." An encounter with the way, the truth, or the life is an encounter with Jesus. The women just wanted to be with him. Even though they know he was dead and that he was gone, they went to the tomb that day. They still wanted to be with him. Do you guys show up to be with Jesus? Do I show up to be with Jesus? The paradigm shift has been so much about Jesus being with us, which is huge, and we need to get that. But if we're in relationship with Jesus, I think he also wants us to be with him. We don't have to wait for him to just magically show up to be with us. We can enter into time with him. And it's going to look different for each one of us. We can read the Bible, and that's a way to encounter how he does things. We can encounter his ways. We can show up to church to receive truth. We can hear truth from a message. We could maybe hear truth from a worship song. We could hear truth and experience an encounter with truth as we're connecting in relationship with one another. We can encounter his truth and his life by simply praying on a daily basis. Praying is about talking, but it's also about listening. It's about listening for his still small voice. That looks different for each one of us, but the Bible tells us that we recognize his voice. He speaks to us. We just have to figure out what it sounds like to us. That we're in a transition, we're in a transition, we're in a transition. That was not me. That was God speaking the whole time, preparing me. All those thoughts that I thought, oh, I have these magical, awesome thoughts. Those were not me. Those were always God speaking to me. I just didn't recognize it until that day that the stone got rolled away. So he does speak to us. We just have to figure out what it looks like for us individually. If prayer is a new thought and it's like overwhelming or intimidating, that's okay, because Craig is going to start a sermon series at the beginning of the year on prayer. So we're going to really dive into prayer as a church. We'll probably have opportunities to pray, which will be good. So though Jesus was gone from the tomb, the women encountered the truth that he was raised. Them walking into the tomb, seeing he was gone, that's an encounter with truth. Because he said he was going to do it. And they encountered that truth. We may not encounter Jesus every time, but if we keep showing up, over time we are going to encounter him. We just have to show up. We have to be like those women and just show up. The second thing that we can see from these women is from verse 1. Oh, isn't that a pretty picture? I forgot to show it right away. So verse 1, but on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. Because the women showed up to the tomb, they established the timeline of Jesus' resurrection. Wow! Simply by showing up. And that they were women is so crazy. Do you guys get how crazy that was? In Jewish time, communication of a day was not a full day. It could be a full day, but it could also be part of a day. Doesn't always have to be the full day. So Jesus died on a Friday. We know that from Scripture. His body was prepared and buried before sundown on Friday. The Sabbath was Saturday, and we read that the women couldn't have gone to the tomb that day because it was Sabbath. So they would have gone the next day, which is Sunday, which was day 3. And that's proof again that what Jesus said, he did. He was raised on the 3rd day. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. This is another layer of proof that the resurrection is real. The first century church would never create a story in which the women were the first witnesses, because nobody would have believed them. They had no credibility in that culture. So the fact that the women were the first witnesses is noteworthy. The ladies could not have rolled the stone away. It was too big. This is what it would have looked like. The Roman guards were guarding the tomb. They wouldn't have rolled away the stone either. The stone in front of the tomb could only be sealed in the presence of the Roman guards, who were left in charge. this would prevent anyone from going in and tampering with any of the grave's contents. After the guards inspected the tomb and rolled the stone in place, I don't know if you guys can see that, but there's a cord that was stretched out over the stone. And then it would have been sealed with clay. And then finally, the clay packs were stamped, that's hard to see, with a Roman signet. And because the seal was Roman, it verified that, in fact, Christ's body was protected from vandals by nothing less than the power and the authority of the Roman Empire. Anyone trying to remove the stone would have broken the seal, thus incurring the wrath of the Roman law and power. The consequences for breaking that seal would have been severe. It would have meant death. Nobody would have done it. The disciples wouldn't have rolled the stone away either, because most of them had already denied Jesus, and they wouldn't have put themselves in harm's way again. God moved the stone. Nobody else. The stone was rolled away not so Jesus could get out, because he was already gone. The stone was rolled away so the women could enter in and encounter the truth that he was raised again. How do we know this? Matthew 28, 1 through 2 says, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to go see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it." Can't you just kind of see that? Just like, like, hey, look what I just did. That's how I see it. Maybe that's just me. So the women watched the stone get rolled away by the earthquake. Again, that's testifying to the truth. If they would have seen Jesus walk out of the tomb, they would have said that. They didn't. The stone was rolled away so that they could enter in to the encounter with truth. So let's look at the next set of verses, starting with verse 4. "While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood beside them in dazzling apparel, and they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. The men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise.'" Oops. "And they all remembered his words. And returning to the tomb, they told all of these things to the 11 and to all the rest." This is the message of the resurrected life. He died. He was betrayed. We've all betrayed him. He died. He rose again. That's the message of the resurrection. The women did come against opposition when they went back, and they told them about the tomb and how Jesus was not there. Have you guys ever experienced that when you're sharing the testimony of this story, the truth of the resurrection, and it kind of falls flat? Or maybe they think you're crazy, or they don't believe you, or the enemy says, don't tell them because they're going to think you're crazy. Do you ever feel like that? I think there is some encouragement that we can take from these women. Don't let the reaction of others deter you from speaking. If Jesus never rose, none of this would matter. He would have just been a guy who died on a cross. But he did raise. That's what makes this so different. We have to speak this out to people, even if they reject us, even if they don't believe us, even if they think that we're crazy. Last week, Mario said that the cross was the pinnacle of our faith, and it is. that Jesus willingly did this for us so that we could be cleansed from our sin and forgiven and have everlasting life. So true. He called it the pinnacle. I'm calling the resurrection pinnacle 2.0, because you have to have both. If you died on a cross and nothing happened, he would have just been a guy on a cross. But he was raised again, and that changes everything. The resurrection was not created by the church. The church was created by the resurrection. That's what we're called to do. It's not about coming to a building. It's not really even coming to Sunday. It's not about that. It's about sharing the truth with other people that don't know Jesus. I think when we share this, and maybe it falls flat, or maybe they don't believe it, or maybe they don't think it's true, I think that's the beginning of a process for that person. And we need to have really high patience for that process with people. They first have to hear the message of resurrection. If nobody tells them, how are they going to know? So maybe you're the first person that would tell them, and it's going to feel like you're scattering seeds, and it's weird, and they don't believe you, and maybe they even put walls up, and that's okay, because that's the first step, is that they have to hear the story. And they, like the disciples, they think it might be crazy. Maybe they won't believe it. We have to expect that. We have to expect that that's going to be their reaction, because the disciples did it too. What we can do, though, that's going to change it is we can begin to pray for the listener. We can pray that they encounter that stone being removed, that stone of unbelief that's going to allow them to believe the truth of this story. And then when that stone gets rolled away, we can start to pray that they encounter Jesus in such a way that they can't deny him. It's not about us doing any of the work other than sharing and praying. It's really Jesus that's going to do that work in them. But what a privilege to be able to watch the process in other people. So ladies and gentlemen, let's be the church. Let's talk about the resurrection. Sometimes stones get rolled away when we're reminded of truth. These men reminded the women of truth. They literally said, hey, do you remember that this is what he said? And then the women are like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Sometimes those stones get rolled away when we're reminded of truth as well. Has that happened to anybody before? Thank you, ladies, for shaking your heads. Maybe you've been reminded of truth as you read through the Bible. Maybe you're reminded of truth as you are in relationships with mentors, with peers, with people in the church. God's truth comes with power, and we can live in that truth. God's power sometimes comes out of nowhere. It's not intended to scare us, but it's intended to capture our attention. I don't think the angels intended to scare the women, although they fell flat on their faces. A couple weeks ago, I was at work. I work at a health club, and a couple of us were standing at the front desk, and Clay is one of our trainers, and he was out by the front door. He had the sign holder here. He took the sign off. He put it down on the floor. We watched all of this, but it didn't register what he was doing. And then he hid behind the sign, and then his client came in, and he jumped down. He's like, ah! She literally fell on the floor. She started kind of having tears a little bit, like uncontrollably, and we saw the whole thing. It scared the heck out of us, too, and it's like we saw it. That's not how God's power is intended to work. But he did capture her attention. I think it's good to remember and to be reminded of truth, because it does help us stay more steadfast in our faith. I was talking to a friend the other day, and she was just kind of a little bit, struggling with some thoughts. And she said, I'm just going to sit and I'm going to I'm going to list my wins with God. And having her be reminded of truth about what he'd already done kind of pushed back that darkness so she didn't get into kind of a little bit of a depression. It's good to remember. There are so many Bible passages that talk about remembering. So I think it's important that we take the time to do that, and that will keep us in that place of encountering Jesus. And when those stones, those things that try to prevent us from encountering Jesus, try to get pushed back in, being reminded of truth is going to help keep them away. So let's take a look at the last few verses today, verses 11 and 12. But these words seemed to be an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at all that happened. The ironic thing here is that the disciples were used to seeing miracles all the time. They were with Jesus for 3 years, and they literally witnessed miracle after miracle after miracle. But the thing that he said for 3 years that he was going to come and do, they couldn't grasp it. We're no different. But like the women who went to the tomb, Peter ran to the tomb and he showed up as well. We're going to hear more about Peter and the disciples next week, but it's just really important that we continue to show up and that we can be reminded of truth. We all need Jesus to move the stones in our lives so that we can encounter him and live a resurrection life. I want to invite Kate up. We have to remember. So Kate has experienced God moving some stones in her life recently, and she was just going to share a little bit of her journey. Do you want to come up here with me? Okay. That'd be so fabulous. This is my friend Kate.
Hi, guys. I wrote everything down so I can be concise.
Do you want to put it here?
So, a couple months ago, God made it very clear that it was time to address an area of pain from my 20s. This was not my idea, and I didn't really want to do it. It actually took a lot of courage to even, he made it plain that it was to message Sarah and say, okay, I need to do this, and I don't want to, but it's time. So, the interesting thing was is that although we've been meeting for a couple of months, we haven't actually addressed that specific area. He keeps going to other areas and like, okay, well, this contributed to this, so let's take care of this. So like, the first one, which is just crazy, honestly, like, he brought me back to a memory from when I was 2 or 3. Now, I didn't know, like, it was so far long ago that I wasn't even sure that it was a memory, because I was so little, and I'm like, okay, God, is this actually a memory, or is this my imagination? And he's like, no, it's really a memory. I was sitting on my dad's lap in his chair, and he had me under my legs, because I was 2 or 3, and he kissed the top of my head. So, like, in that moment, once I could get into that 2-year-old's mentality, it took me a while, like, I felt so safe and adored, and I wrote it all down, like, and delighted in. And what was also significant, secondary, but also significant, was that as a 2-year-old, I had no lists. I had no responsibilities. I just existed in that moment, and I was loved and saved and adored. And, like, this was before, it was also significant because my dad fought in Vietnam. He had PTSD. Like, this is before I was aware of my parents fighting, and it just, he didn't always feel safe. He is, but he didn't always feel safe. And so, like, to feel safe on my dad's lap as a 2 or 3-year-old is just significant. But this all that Jesus did in that moment, it broke the idea that I have to do things to be accepted or loved, that I can be at rest in my dad's love and in God's love. So, like, it was crazy. Like, it broke something. It released this tension in me. It was like I had been like this for 30-some years, and then all of a sudden, it just relaxed. And, like, I was exhausted. I was exhausted for, like, 4 weeks. Like, literally slept on the couch here for an hour because I was so tired and had been holding all of this tension in me for so long that I wasn't even aware of. I had no idea that I didn't feel safe. I had no idea. It was just completely outside of my awareness. So that is one significant thing that God has done recently. But another one is, like, and it still has nothing to do what I was like, okay, this is the area of pain that needs to be worked through. Nope, here's another one. So there's another memory from when I was 10 where the way that I received it is that my mom completely rejected me is how I received it. It wasn't reality, but it was how I received it. And so like, this was the second or third time that I'd already worked through this memory and had, like, layers taken off. But, like, this time, like, it actually broke. And it's changing everything. But because I had felt rejected at my core, I couldn't receive the good things that are true of me. I could only receive the bad things. It's like only the bad things could get inside of me and none of the good things could I actually absorb. Because I couldn't believe that the good things were actually true. So I could feel appreciation, but I couldn't actually receive love. So now I'm actually starting to receive love and it's kind of amazing. But like, it's just crazy because I'm feeling so much more at rest and at peace in my list. I'm an ESFJ, Enneagram 1. Like, my list is important. Like, my list gets things done. Like, the list is not that pressure anymore. I could tell you lots of things, but I'm just so much more at peace. Even my chiropractor was like, it was like after this second memory, she's like, it's like your body is at peace. She's not a Christian. She's like, your body is at peace. And I'm like, wow, that's cool. Like, I feel it, but the fact that you're telling me is also significant. So there's more, but I think I've talked long enough. So
I think that's great. Let's give her a hand. So God removed the stone that Kate didn't feel safe, and he removed the stone of rejection. That's how it can work. Sometimes we can hold stones in place if we're not doing what God has asked us to do. So things like forgiving somebody, apologizing to somebody, repenting of a sin, staying in isolation, not asking for prayer, any of those things that we have sensed that he has spoken directly to us that we have not yet done, sometimes he's not going to move the stone until we do that. And then when we do that, it's like, oh my gosh, the stone is gone. So sometimes there are things that we have to participate in the process. But this is the fun part of the morning for me where we get to spend some time with Jesus and ask him specifically for our lives, where does he want to touch those places? So I just want to invite Josh up. He's going to play some background music for us. And I just want you guys to imagine for a second what faith would look like if Jesus never rose from the dead. There would be no faith, right? It wouldn't matter. He would have just been a guy on a cross. Jesus must be betrayed, and he must be crucified, and he must be raised from the dead. We have to believe that this process is for us, and that it's real and that it really happened. Close your eyes for a second. Have you put your faith in Jesus? If you haven't or you're not sure, please come talk to Craig after the service. All other religions teach that eternal life is about our effort and what we must do to earn it. Our faith, our Christianity, is about God's effort on our behalf. And there's nothing that we can do to earn it. There's nothing that we can do to earn salvation or love. God removes the stones in our lives so that we can encounter him and live a resurrection life. I'm going to just quietly say some sentences, and I just want you to kind of repeat them inside and just let God speak to those places in you. When I say God speaks, I think he wants to speak something to us today. It might be a thought. It might be a picture. It might be a song. It might be a word. It might be a passage of scripture. It might be something he reminds us of. There are lots of different ways that God speaks. But I do believe he wants to remove some stones today to give us more of a resurrection life today. So you can just repeat these quietly inside as we say them and just let God speak. Jesus, do I have any stones in my life that you want to move? If you sensed a yes, Jesus, what's the name of the stone? Jesus, is there anything that you've asked me to do that I haven't done yet? I think some of us today might be really struggling with some things. Maybe we've been struggling with depression. Maybe we've been struggling with addictions that just don't seem to go away. Maybe we're struggling with some hidden sin that holds us back from relationship. Maybe we just can't seem to forgive that person who hurt us, even though we know we should. Maybe all this resurrection talk feels a little bit like a wild and crazy story that can't be true. But God wants to roll away the stone so that you can encounter him and live a resurrection life. No matter where you are in relationship with him and no matter what you've done in the past, he is still rolling stones.
Out of the shadows, bound for the gallows, a dead man. Love came calling, rise up,
rise up,
rise up,
rise up,
6 feet under. thought that I was too far gone, or everything I've done wrong. Yeah, I'm the one who dug this grave, but you called my name. You called my name. I thought that I was too far gone.